Welcome to the Career Ready Podcast. Learn about resumes, cover letters, LinkedIn, interviewing, and all things you need to be career ready with the Career Service Center at College of DuPage. I'm one of your hosts, Pierre Michaels. Today, I'm going to talk about different types of experiences and the best way to include them on the resume.
And I'm your co-host for this episode, Rebecca Harrington. I'm going to start our episode today talking about equity and inclusion. So let's do it. Let's talk about one of the competencies that employers say is important, but that can be a challenge for any job seeker, especially those who may not have a lot of work experience: equity and inclusion. The National Association of Colleges and Employers, NACE, we often talk about them, right, defines this competency as the ability to, quote, demonstrate the awareness, attitude, knowledge, and skills required to equitably engage and include people from different local and global cultures, engage in anti-racist practices that actively challenge the systems, structures, and policies of racism. That's a lot to unpack. So we're going to focus on just one of the behaviors that NACE lists to demonstrate this skill. Quote, advocate for inclusion, equitable practices, justice, and empowerment for historically marginalized communities. The key word for this behavior is advocate. When we advocate, we speak up. We offer ideas, we defend, we show support. This is something that relates to the job search because employers will often ask questions like, tell me about a time when you saw someone from a marginalized community be mistreated and what did you do about it? In other words, they don't just want to know that you can recognize unequitable practices, but that you understand how to take action against them. We can demonstrate this behavior by being proactive in responding to the injustice in the world around us. In a little bit, Pierre is going to talk about how we can share experiences on our resume that are outside of the traditional work environment, like volunteering or joining a student club. These activities give us an opportunity to be proactive in learning about DEI topics. And because they are activities we choose to do outside of what's required, it shows us taking action. For example, doing work at a nonprofit that assists the community gives us a chance to educate ourselves on topics like historic forms of racism and implicit biases. Make the choice to work with populations you are not familiar with so that you get a better understanding of what they face and better understand how you might be able to help, and better understand your own preconceived notions. Being a part of a student club can also provide not only an education on DEI topics, but an opportunity to take action. It can be scary to talk back to authority or go against your peers. When it comes to defending someone from a marginalized group, especially when we're early on in our careers, we might worry about saying or doing something wrong. In a somewhat less charged arena, like a club, where our job isn't on the line, we have the chance to act and learn how to do it well. We might need to learn that we are the issue that needs to be corrected. It's important to pay attention to what's happening, to ask questions, to educate yourself, and then to help educate others. For example, you might notice a student in the group who is not engaging in conversations, but they keep coming to meetings. It would be a good idea to have a conversation with them before or after a meeting to find out what might be the reason they don't feel comfortable speaking or contributing at the meetings. It could be because they feel a difference with their background. Perhaps they are a first-generation student, or they are the only one of their racial background in the group. Or something else. We just don't know until we have that conversation. At that point, advocacy means that we are working with them and working with others in the group to find a way to make them feel more included. Not change them, not make them feel like they must conform to the group, but instead so they feel they can be themselves and help the group include them as they are. Be sure to only do what that person feels comfortable having you do and make sure that you look at your own behavior and biases as well. Just because we are the first to take action doesn't mean we aren't potentially also part of the problem. Equity work is never ending and something employers are starting to see as essential to succeed. Employees who feel included and feel like they belong are more likely to stay and contribute. And including a wide variety of ideas is what helps us succeed. If you are the candidate that can confidently talk about your ability to advocate, you will put yourself ahead of those who cannot.
All right, Rebecca, thank you for breaking down equity and inclusion and giving some hints at to what we're going to be talking about as we dive deeper into this conversation. But before we get started, I want to remind our listeners that this information that we're talking about may relate to the resume throughout this entire series, but just like previous conversations, what we're talking about today isn't restricted to just the resume. Some of these ideas, especially when we start thinking of different types of experiences we could be communicating, will be also be applicable to preparing for interviews, your LinkedIn profile, all these other areas where you're sharing information with employers. With today's topic, we will be exploring different employment and beyond employment experiences, things that we can be sharing with the employer. I can actually sum up what I'm going to be talking about in like one sentence. Anytime you've applied yourself is a time you can share with an employer. It's not just about employment. It's about how we have been involved, because that's what employers love to see, is how we've been applying ourselves, how our abilities have been used. The most important thing as we move forward with this conversation is trying to think about the different settings that we have been involved. So, Rebecca, have you ever met with someone and you're talking about their resume or something, and they say something along the lines of, my experience is in retail. I have no experience that the employer is interested in.
Oh, absolutely. It's always interesting when someone comes and they've drafted a resume, but it has no experience on it. And when you ask why, they say, oh, well, I've never done anything in the field that I want to go into. You know, my experience is all unrelated. But we know that, first of all, that experience that they've done is absolutely essential, right? The retail experience. But also, there's probably some other experiences that they've done that they don't even realize is something they should add to their resume.
Yeah, I think a lot of times for us, that first conversation about the resume is just helping someone realize different experiences, because maybe they have retail, but then that's the only thing on their resume.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they don't include those other things like volunteering or, we talked about this with our employment gap last week last episode, where we, can think about all the other things that we're doing. And sometimes they just kind of fade into the background for some reason. And we don't realize that there's something we can put on our resume. For me, it's I always say you don't have to get paid for something in order for it to belong on your resume.
Yeah, right. There's plenty of conversations that I've had, I'm sure you've had, Michelle has had, of like, oh, you only have this experience of retail on your resume, but what else have you been doing? Or have you been doing anything as a student? And then all of a sudden they name all these other things, and those are other things you could be included on your resume. And we're going to be talking about those ideas. But before we dive deeper into that, let's go ahead and spend some time talking about employment. Even though this is titled Experience Beyond Employment, we want to be aware of what we're sharing with that employer. So being able to really create a narrative, being able to take control of our story is really important. So I don't care if your employment was within retail, fast food, babysitting, or anything else not related to your long-term goal, it is still experience that you can share with that prospective employer. Now, with that said, let's talk about other experiences that you may not get paid for, right? Anytime we're involved is an experience that we can be sharing with that employer. This isn't an all-inclusive list, but consider community involvement and volunteer opportunities or internships and clinical experiences as things that you could be including on your resume, right? These are just different types of experiences that we're having. Maybe it's some kind of campus engagement, like student clubs or classroom projects. These are the types of things that we're talking about. Rebecca, are there other general classifications of experiences that you would encourage our listeners to think about?
Yeah, I think one of the things that if you're a student at a college is to look and see if they have any service learning or civic engagement opportunities, where it could be a part of a class where you actually volunteer as a part of it or do something in the community where you're helping the community. It could also be joining an association for your area of study. As a student, oftentimes they have really good student rates. They want you to be involved. So you're going to meetings, you're helping out the association, or sometimes we're involved in a nonprofit in a way that isn't just direct service volunteering. You might be more helping them administratively or on the board, something where you're involved in the organization, even just a little bit deeper than just that daily direct service.
Yeah, right. So there's so many different ways to be thinking of experiences and that involvement. So regardless of how that experience will be labeled, the important part is to identify how you've been involved. So identifying that information, and then you can start presenting it on your resume. And with this presentation, there's some things that we want to be consistent with, because they're all experiences, and there's ways to present this professionally, formally on a resume. So regardless of where that experience is coming from, on your resume, you want to include the organization that you're doing this work through, include the city, state, that location, identifying the position or project title that would relate to this experience that you're doing, including date or date range is also valuable to that employer. And depending on that experience, it may be difficult to identify all of these things, but you want to do your best to make some connections here. It doesn't just help the employer see the value in this experience, but it's also helping populate some of that information that our resume is going to get processed through the ATS, which we've talked about in other episodes, that computer program employers use to read resumes, look for this type of information. So as an example, if that experience is coming from a classroom project that is relevant to the employment goal, I want to include that on my resume because it reflects the application of my industry knowledge and skills. My organization will be College of DuPage because that's where I'm going to school, and maybe I'll include the class name with that organization. The location will be Glen Ellyn, Illinois, the location of College of DuPage. For the position title, I will probably actually put down the project name or, you know, something a little bit more relevant to that work. And then I'm going to include the dates of that semester when I was working on this project. After presenting that basic information, I'm going to follow it up with some bulleted impact statements showcasing the application of my abilities. We did a deep dive into writing these impact statements a few episodes back. If you missed it, I recommend you look up the Writing an Impactful Resume episode 41 of the Career Ready podcast. As you go back, listen to that episode, or maybe you won't get to it, just remember, when you're presenting this information, it's not necessarily about the experience. It's about how that experience has prepared you for this next level to help you move forward to this opportunity that you're pursuing. For another example, let's consider a service learning class. It could be presented like one of those class projects that I was just talking about with high connection to College of DuPage, but I would actually recommend that you tie it closer to the service learning host site, the place that you're going to do these hours and where you're applying your skill sets. So in this approach, the organization name of the host site will be on the resume, and the host site's city and state will be the location. For the title, you could use service learning student, or if you have a title from that host site, that's what you can put in there. And then you would just have the dates that you were there. Sometimes when you're volunteering through a service learning site, it can actually go beyond the semester, right? That those are expected hours for the class, but you could be going beyond that. So then we're definitely wanting to move further away from the College of DuPage and highlighting that full experience, because now it's becoming more of a volunteer role. So if you're applying or you're presenting that volunteer work on the resume, then you could just follow what I was just talking about, where you're highlighting those four key pieces of information and you're connecting that to your site, following up with those very important impact statements. Rebecca, before I get into my next set of tips, is there anything else you want to include here?
Yeah, just that idea that don't wait. to start putting these things on your resume, especially with those course projects, because you will forget all of the details. And so when it comes time to write your resume, if it's a really, you know, you're like, oh, I did this really great project last year in this class, and it would be really relevant to an employer, you might be surprised at how many little details you forget. So if you are doing something that is impactful, whether it is a volunteer service or a project or a really great activity with your student club, do this work and add it to your resume sooner rather than later, because you'll get the best information at that point.
Yeah, that's a great tip, a great idea to just be documenting this. You know, you're saying add it to your resume because we're talking about the resume, but what I'll add here is just document it. You know, something that I sometimes talk about is a bank resume.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is just that resume. It's not something that we really share with employer. It's not a resume in itself, right? I throw it in that title, but it's just our database, our personal database, our future reference document as we're working on a future resume for that employer. But to document all those different ideas right now will be very helpful, because when the time comes, you're going to forget how involved you were in that class.
Absolutely.
So now that we've covered some of the basics of this consistency, let's go ahead and shift and talk about how you can make this be a little bit more unique to really let your resume stand out and tell your story. The main way we're going to do this is being strategic with the headers. As Rebecca and I talked about earlier, when we see people coming in, they are only presenting experiences on their resume, and we need to be thinking of beyond that, right? How have we applied ourselves? We just ran through those different experiences. So now we want to be making sure that they stick out. We use these headers to emphasize the experiences to really help identify how they tie back to the employer. So instead of just listing everything under experiences where everything just kind of blends in and nothing is really being emphasized, especially with that reverse chronological order, sometimes these class projects, those semesters have ended, so now they get buried on the resume, we use different headers to help emphasize the content. So being able to use these different headers will separate that content, helping us emphasize what we want that employer, the reader of their resume, to see first. As an example, if I am writing a resume that I want to be reflecting my internship experience, I'm going to have two headers, one with internship experience followed by employment experience. By doing this, I'm pulling my internship experience out, which may have actually been completed last summer. So this is giving a good visual representation. And then beneath that, I will have my other employment experiences, which are current and still valuable, but I want them to see that internship experience. And because it's in a different section, I'm still following the reverse chronological format or expectation because it's by experience section. So following that same idea, but a slightly different approach, instead of having internship experience as the section, I'm going to have it be labeled related experience. Under the related experience section, I'm not only going to include my internship, but I'm also going to include some course projects that are related to my goals. By adjusting this header, it's giving me more content that I could be incorporating into it. A good way to evaluate which headers you should be sharing on your resume is to understand your goals and how your experiences tie into that. So after identifying the different experiences you want to include on your resume, look for the similarities. How do these similarities compare to what you want to be prioritizing, what you want that employer to be seeing? So now you could get a little bit creative with the language, with the headers that you're using, but also be aware the computer programs are reading these, so we don't want to get too fancy. Some different headers to consider include related experience, academic experience, leadership experience, employment experience, internship experience, clinical experience. That list can just keep going on and on. But sometimes we can actually label it with something very specific, such as customer service experience. This customer service experience as a header will highlight that related experience of customer service right there. So maybe I'm applying to something where customer service isn't what I want to be highlighting. So I could do accounting experience or animation experience as some other examples, trying to tie it in specifically to our goals. Even though there are many different experience headers to use, I recommend you don't overdo it on your resume. If you include too many headers, now your resume is starting to look disjointed and it's actually becoming harder to identify content. Nothing's really being emphasized. So I recommend that you try to limit it to two, maybe three different headers. This way that you can really highlight what you want that employer to be aware of. Rebecca, as we wrap up here, thinking of different ways to present these different types of experiences on the resume, is there anything else you want to add?
Just to, you know, really applaud you for talking about the headers, because I think that's something that we don't think of, and it really helps guide the reader so that we can put those most relevant experiences at the top. You know, I was thinking, you know, you were giving an example about customer service, and honestly, you know, if I'm a student and maybe I'm just looking for a customer service job right now to, you know, help me pay for school, then that resume is going to have those customer service experiences right front and center. And, you know, maybe I'm not going to put a lot of course projects, you know, on my resume. Whereas if I'm using this to apply for an internship, well, now all of a sudden, you know, we're going to put those course projects front and center, and we're going to maybe include student clubs, things that we wouldn't include on the customer service resume. So I think, you know, when we're bringing in experiences that are outside of the normal, just like jobs, those headers really give us that freedom to really customize the resume for the experience. And we talk about that a lot, that your resume should be customized for the job you're applying for. And yes, that applies also to your impact statements and other things, but really how you organize your resume is a really big part of that customization.
Yeah, thanks for saying that, because that is really a key piece to help the reader get the impact, right? That computer system, it doesn't really matter where it's on the resume. It's looking for the keywords, the language to populate their database. But then when it gets into the hands of someone, being able to organize this content and then giving that flexibility based off of those different goals, as you were just illustrating, becomes a lot easier. Well, thank you to our listeners for joining us today. We hope you feel better prepared to present different types of experiences on your resume. As a reminder, if you have a question you want to hear answered in a future episode, you can submit it to careerpodcast@cod.edu. As we end here, we encourage you to join us for our next episode when we do a deep dive into field studies and study abroad.